Well, thanks for joining me. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray Thanksgiving, especially for God's providence to Relevant, for allowing us to continue to keep the chaplet on for months to come. And I'm very grateful. I just ask that God will return whatever you've been able to give in multiples and in ways that will surprise you with healings and new relationships and new opportunities and just in really big blessings that will come your way. If you have not been able to support, and believe me, I get it, then I want to pray that God will bless you in the ways that you need so that you can be able to maybe be in a better state, better position. So life's hard. It's a journey, isn't it? It's difficult. We're filled with all sorts of hardships and trials and difficulties. The great saints all went through these. I look at the sufferings of Saint Faustina and Saint Bernadette and, you know, so many of the people with special union with God, and yet the torments they went through. Mother Teresa, John Paul II, you name any saint, and you're going to see that suffering was part of their life. I think it's what helped them achieve these greater heights of sanctity. I really do. And I look at my own life sometimes, I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'm trying to avoid that. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that suffering. You know, we're always praying to alleviate it. United, if you're in it right now, if you're in the storm, if you're suffering, united to that of the Lord on the cross. I'll tell you what, it will be powerful. It will be incredibly efficacious. And you're going to see how your prayers are stronger than they've ever been. I really believe that. I want to pray for a couple quick intentions that have come in here to me today. One for Cecilia. This is a young girl who is dealing with anorexia, and the parents have been so faithful. They've been praying. They've been getting her help, and yet this problem continues to torment and to continue, if you will. And I just want to ask God today in a special way to heal anybody who is suffering with anorexia or bulimia or any sort of body dysmorphia, anyone who is self-mutilating or cutting or anybody who's dealing with those types of issues. There's often a reason that underlies that. I just ask God to go to the depths of that wound and heal that person. Also, my colleague here, John Morales, today, I was listening to his broadcast this morning as I was in my car, and I know that his father-in-law, his wife Cindy's father, it's his wife, just passed away from a long battle with COPD, and I do want to pray for anyone who is, battling COPD, anyone who has a degenerative disease right now that may call them home, anybody who's battling cancer. John sent this text, and he said, he says, I prayed every day for years that my father-in-law would come back to the church before he was called home. And we worry about our kids. We worry about our spouses. We worry about our parents. We worry about our siblings, right? They're not where they are with God. What if God calls them home? Eternity's a long time. Hell's real. John says he prayed every day for that. He says there was a miracle. And he says prayers were answered because he received last rites Saturday night from a priest from the Immaculate Conception Parish in Omaha, Nebraska, where he lived. He says this happened right after we prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy in our home in Glenview, Illinois. My father-in-law died peacefully at 4:40 a.m. on Sunday morning. Would you please pray for the repose of Bill Soul, he says. Also pray for John, if you could, my colleague here, and his wife, losing a family member, especially a parent, can also be incredibly difficult. So I'm joined right now by my colleague, Chris Flood. Always good to have her here. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hey, anything
happy
you want to
Valentine's
pray?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, happy St. Valentine's Day to you, too. And the other great saints today, Cyril and Methodius, too. We'll call upon their intercession. Anything you want to pray for?
Yes, I would like to pray for my husband, Kevin. We've been married for 40 years, and he's a wonderful, loving man. And I just want to thank God for him.
He is. You are lucky to have him. I know he's especially lucky to have you, Chris. And you make a great couple.
Thank you.
You two go together well. And I love Kevin. Kevin always, he lights up a room, brings a lot of joy wherever he goes. So we'll pray for your husband. Let's pray for our spouses today. Let's pray for those discerning vocations, those looking for their future spouse. Let's pray for those in troubled relationships as well for real healing and for real discernment. A little bit later, I'm going to be joined by a couple. So if you are going through heartbreak now, or if your marriage suffered infidelity, if you're having difficulty in that area, you may want to stay tuned. We'll pray for this now, especially on St. Valentine's Day. but I think you'll appreciate my guests. They might really be able to help and shed some light on that. Maybe providential today that we're talking about that. So we'll pray. We'll begin as we do every day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray together. Open your hearts, pray big, ask big, trust in the Lord. I'm going to pray for a friend of mine. His name's Doug. He went into AFib last week, and want to lift him up and just pray for his healing as well. He's getting some treatment now, and we'll take our first call. It comes from Covina, California. Teresa, you've been waiting a long time. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Blessings for you and Relevant Radio. I have two neighbors, one on either side. She shared with me that her brother was shot accidentally by her nephew. And she is Catholic, and it's really struggling with her faith, and I'm sure the family. The other one is Joanne King, a Protestant. Husband gave me permission to pray for her. She has a cancer, a tumor, and it's getting worse and very fragile. So I pray that there is a miracle so that he will know that through us, through Catholics, through Divine Mercy, the Rosary, that God answers our prayers. And also, third, most important, my late husband was a trucker. It was such a difficult life for him and for our family. So I pray for all truckers and all those who protect us. So important to pray for them.
Teresa, thank you for calling. I love your spirit. I love your heart. There's an intensity and a specialness to your prayer. Lord, I give you Teresa and all of the intentions she put forth, those three, but in particular those in her heart that weren't mentioned, and I unite her prayers to all who are now praying with us. But I pray for that neighbor with cancer. I want to pray especially for the other neighbor's brother who shot her father accidentally. That's unbelievable. Lord, have mercy. We just pray for those who are victims of tragedy and accident. Sometimes we just wonder why, and it's so difficult, Lord, for us to get our head around those things. And I pray for healing in those very difficult situations. I love her call. Her husband was a trucker. Let's pray for the situation in Canada that gets remedied. Let's pray for all those who keep the country running. You know, for all those truckers that are listening right now, we're praying for you. Thank you for what you do. Be courteous to those truckers. Let them in. Don't ride on them. Don't cut them off, guys. And then let's pray for first responders and law enforcement and military and, of course, for world peace. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll take our next call from Zoe. She's praying in Reno, Nevada. Zoe, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you. I want to pray for a family friend, a six-year-old who drowned in the bathtub yesterday, and she's on life support.
Oh, my gosh. Zoe, my heart goes out to that family. I'm glad you got through. Let's pray right now, and I'll share something very quickly with you. There are true stories. I have a friend who's been on this radio program in the past. His name's Dr. Brian Thatcher, and a very gifted surgeon. And he had a beautiful pool. He lived down in Florida. And his, I think it was his two-year-old son or four-year-old son, he was a young child, somehow fell into the pool and drowned. And when rescuers got there, he was unresponsive. And they thought they'd lost him. And Brian immediately stood on the promises of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, where the Lord says, look, anything you ask in virtue of my passion, it'll be granted to you if it's according to my will. He believed in the power of this prayer to do everything to change weather, to bring back to life. And his son was not only brought back to life, was brought to the hospital and in turn made a full recovery. I wrote in my book about my own story, because my daughter almost drowned in our bathtub when she was just a little girl. I found her, and it was a horrible experience. I can still hear the screams of my wife as I brought her limp, wet body down to the floor and gave her CPR. And I remember just praying nonstop the Chaplet of Divine Mercy on my way to AI DuPont, the children's hospital there. And it didn't look good. I could tell from the paramedics. And of course, my wife was just a wreck. We had these five kids under five, right? Under 6 years. So our world was spinning. And I stood on the promises of this chaplet. I believed so deeply that God could heal and change things. And doctors were trying to caution us. They thought our daughter would have brain damage and, you know, she would never be the same. They wanted to prepare us for that. And she's a modern day miracle. And I'm so convinced of the power of this prayer. That's why we prayed every day. That's why I have so many books of answered prayers that have come in from this. So I don't know God's will. I don't. I always submit to it. But I also stand on the great promises that he has given and the value in the passion and death of his son. So, Lord, right now I bring to you this situation. I pray for another divine mercy miracle to the amazement of the physicians, to the amazement of the family. And I pray for all those in these difficult situations where the world and the laws of the world and the physics and the math and the science all say this is impossible. With you, all things are possible. So I intercede now. Again, just trusting, putting my faith in your promise and in your sacrifice. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, my Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And Zoe, call upon the intercession, not just of St. Faustina and her spiritual director, Father Sapochko, but I'd call upon Father Seraphim Mikulenko, the vice postulator for her calls. I think God's going to be working powerfully through that man. I think a lot of miracles loom in the not-too-distant future through his intercession. I want to go to Twitter, too. And again, please send me your intentions. Send me your answered prayers. Drew at relevantradio.com. Let me know how God is answering, how the miracles are unfolding in your life. And of course, you can go to Twitter at Drew Mariani. At Drew Mariani Show is the show account. And leave us your answered prayers and your prayer petitions there. Maggie's always monitoring that. Kind of the shadow account. And Maggie's got some great insight and great posts. Maggie, what's coming in?
First, I'd like to pray for a loved one's uncle who is passing away probably as we speak now. So I want to pray for the repose of his soul and for the peace of that whole family. I'd also like to lift up one of our colleagues for the preparations and eventual home sale for Matt. And then as far as tweets coming in, Alexander wrote to us and said, "Hey, Drew, please pray for my mom, Margarita. She's having internal bleeding issues in her lungs from her nose and having an embolism procedure today."
Oh, man.
Yeah. Kay wrote to us and said, "Praying for our sweet Mary, who is suffering with cancer. She may be called home today. Please, Lord, bring her into your loving embrace and for the conversion and protection of my whole family." Nina wrote to us and said, "Will you please pray for a teacher, husband, father, Catholic man in our town who is facing amputation of his leg from cancer? Oh, praying for complete healing. Thank you."
On that one intention there, anybody who faces amputation, I often say, turn to the great St. Peregrine, okay? Because he was supposed to have his leg amputated and was miraculously healed. So we'll call upon him to intercede. He had, you know, a patron saint, of course, of cancer as well. But go ahead, Maggie.
And just one last one here. Tim wrote to us and said, "Please pray for A. Jones from Illinois. She suffered a stroke and was laid to eternal rest this weekend."
All right, let's lift up those intentions. Let me bring Roberta into the third decade and have her pray with us, too. Roberta, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. So nice to talk to you, and thank you.
Likewise, thank you.
I'm calling for my daughter. She has a brain tumor that's scheduled for Wednesday at Stanford, and I ask for the divine mercy physician to assist the surgeon. Amen. Making her right. She's lost the sight of her left eye because the tumor has put pressure on her optic nerve.
Wow.
And then also I have my son that has endocrine cancer, I called before, and he's going through chemo and all. The cancer has been slow, so I thank my great God for that.
Amen.
But anyway, we can just make them both well. Thank
Roberta,
you
hang in there, all right? I'm so sorry. As a mother, I have both a daughter and a son going through such serious health situations. We're going to pray, all right? I'm going to pray. I'm going to really believe that situations are going to change. I know our spiritual family here is too. They're with you. You're not alone, and we're going to blanket you, especially your daughter and son, in our prayer. And Lord, I just ask for mercy. I ask for miracles. May this be an anointed hour where the floodgates of your mercy are open. Hear the cries of your children as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Jennifer. She's praying with us in Chicago. Hi, Jennifer. Good afternoon. Hi, Jennifer. Are you with us? All right, let me move along. I'm sorry about that, Jennifer. Let me go next to Claudia, who's listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Claudia.
Hello. I'd like to pray for families that have lost young children to suicide. We have a family in our parish who just lost their 16-year-old daughter to suicide. It's very heartbreaking, and I'm sure there's other families who could use our prayers. I'd like to pray for our children who have left the faith and have been sucked into the homosexual lifestyle, that God would intervene in his mercy and kindness.
Okay. Let's pray for Claudia. I'm so glad you got through. And you're not alone. We love you. We want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for families who've lost young children and all those who've lost loved ones to suicide. It's just so hard to get your head around that. And Lord, I just ask for healing. I pray for that soul, too. I know how much you love them and how merciful you are. I want to pray for those who have same-sex attraction, Lord. They feel they're wired that way or born that way, or maybe it's the result of something else. I give you those souls. I give you anyone right now who is dealing with any sort of sexual proclivity or any misuse of their sexuality, or anyone who seeks healing, Lord, or liberation or freedom, anyone who's been abused, anyone who is abusing. We thank you for the gift of our sexuality, Lord. We ask for proper understanding and respect and use of it. And I pray for those battling pornography, too. I saw a piece earlier today, a news piece on it, and I'm going to pray for all those men right now that are, and women who are grappling in that area, too. And I know you can heal, Lord. I know you hear these prayers, and I'm so grateful for it. So I give you my heart, and I give you these needs, and all who pray with me as we turn to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I see so many calls on hold. Jennifer praying for financial help. John praying for you and everyone that is listening and suffering. And Mary and Monica and Pat and Teresa and Nicole and so many others. Lord, I just give you all their intentions. And I take Don, who is listening in Naperville, as our fifth decade caller today. Don, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I have a friend of mine, Tom, who has diabetes, and he's got a foot infection. I just like to pray for him, but also especially for all those suffering with health issues that is caused by diabetes.
Amen to that. And we'll pray, Lord, for those who as a result of it may have to have an amputation. I want to pray for those who are really struggling with it. And so I just ask you that you heal these degenerative diseases, these difficult crosses that so many people have with health. And it seems to be a common denominator today, shows so many health intentions. Lord, I give you your children. I just pray that you embrace them and you bring about healing and allow your mercy to rejuvenate their body, their cells, their blood. Just bring healing where it is most needed. And I pray for those who are having suicidal ideations, those who are contemplating ending the life of the child in their womb. I want to pray for those who are using artificial contraception. They know it's wrong, Lord. I ask that you can liberate and free them. I want to pray for those who have been abused. I want to pray in particular for those who have had troubled marriages, Lord, who are having difficulty in their relationships right now. I ask for healing and discernment in those areas. I pray for those you're calling home, those struggling financially. Lord, I give you those priests and religious, those discerning those vocations, those who are having crises in their vocations. And I give you these needs and all those that have been written, all those now united to me. And I thank you because I pray with complete confidence. I know you hear this prayer. I place my confidence in you as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Valentine,
pray for us.
Saint Cyril and Methodius,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mikalenko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you. I'm going to leave it right here. When I come back, though, we'll talk about marriage, infidelity, healing, so much more. And remind me tomorrow to share with you an answered prayer. I had asked you to pray for my wife's aunt. She had to fly back. She was very concerned about her. She was not doing well, 92 years of age. It was as though our prayers resulted in a miracle. You cannot believe the rebound that she made. Prayer is powerful. Never doubt it. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime. On Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Loving you, weather. Times are good or bad, happy or sad.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah. What a classic song, right? For Valentine's Day. Al Green, Let's Stay Together. Such good music. Hey, it's good to be with you. Thank you for allowing me just to hang out with you and spend some time with you. And you know, you never know what you're going to hear when you turn on the broadcast. My show is a current event news-driven show, and we deal with everything from politics to COVID to faith to relationships to health, you know, you name it, to entertainment. And, you know, every day is a little bit different. Today, of course, is Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day. We're going to give him credit for it, right? It's a day that we often celebrate romantic love. And that love, by the way, is something the church recognizes as valid. They bless it, right, in the sacrament of marriage. I often talk about the power of a sacramental marriage. We don't know a whole lot about Valentine. I'm sure you've heard a lot in homilies and on the air, and you'll probably hear more later about who St. Valentine actually was. He did exist. He is a martyr. We know that much. Of course, this legend sprung up that the Roman Emperor Claudius had forbidden marriage amongst his soldiers because he wanted them not to be distracted from the duties. But it was said that, you know, St. Valentine secretly witnessed the marriage vows of soldiers. And he did this against the emperor's edict. And when he was discovered, he eventually found out, didn't go too well, right? That's the legend. And over the course of about 18 centuries, it's a lot of time, things can change. It's somehow now developed into what we have today, which has no reference at all to really this martyr. But it's still a good day to think about strengthening one's relationship, one's marriage. Even if it is a legend, the story of this priest witnessing the vows of these soldiers, you know, if you take a look at that, it points to the fact that, you know, the church absolutely values married love. That's why it's a sacrament, you know. Today, you could see why Satan hates it, right? There's a tremendous, tremendous attack on the sacrament of marriage. We have seen it just a couple years ago, redefined by our Supreme Court, a horrific decision. And now we are seeing the bad fruit of that decision, right? For millennia, marriage was defined as being between one man and one woman. And of course, a lot of people today, I mean, attitudes have radically changed. Where they were in 2015, 14, 13, 12, where they are today, you know, a decade later or less, that pendulum has really swung. And I think that's a sad commentary on our day. Sister Lucio de Santos, the seer in Fatima, had talked about how the final confrontation would be over this very aspect. It would be over marriage, right? Family and marriage. And those two things are really in the crosshairs of the evil one today. And of course, today, marriage is under great pressure from all kinds of fronts, right? It's not just, you know, the redefinition of it. We have a sickness. We have an epidemic that is, there's a poison is the right word for it. There's a poison right now that is seeping into marriages, and it's absolutely destroying them. And the irony of this poison is that those who take it, they don't even realize what it's doing to them personally and what it's doing to their spouse and to their relationship. And what a door, what a wedge, what a portal it is for the evil one. I'm talking, of course, about porn. I think today we're seeing marriage, the perception of it, and relationships radically change. We're seeing the sexuality in those unions radically change. I think porn is a poison right now. And you talk to any marriage counselor, pornography is a big thing. Of course, finances always come into that. But, you know, the other fronts to marriage, contraception. It's another one of those things that couples use, like porn, and they think there's nothing wrong with it. It will kill your marriage. It will. You do not realize how devastating that is. And of course, you know, we see this no-fault divorce that we have in our society today. We see the acceptance of abortion. We see the culture demeaning marriage, mocking it, redefining it. So we live in a troubled time. Let's call upon St. Valentine today in a special way to really help you in your relationship to strengthen it, or if it is dysfunctional right now, to heal it, you know, or if you're discerning this walk, you know, this vocation of marriage, that your path is completely illuminated. I think, you know, couples and individual marriages feel a lot of pressure to give into the culture on a lot of these different fronts. But the church recognizes how important it is that you have a strong marriage, because that's what builds up the church. That is the foundation, the building block that builds up the rest of society. And I thought today we could talk about it. And the doors are wide open here. We can talk about everything from troubled marriages to infidelity to how to strengthen your marriage, or even how to make it heal, how to help it heal. I'm joined by Greg and Julie Alexander. They're the founders of, and also the executive directors of, the Alexander House. You may have heard about them before. They've been on the show in the past. This is a beautiful Catholic international apostolate, and they're just dedicated to proclaiming the beauty and the goodness and the truth of God's design for marriage. Because God does have a design for your marriage. Believe it or not, He does. And I want to get you plugged into their outreach. You can go online to thealexandrahouse.org. Okay, and I'll give it to you again. But I want to welcome both of them today. Greg and Julie, thank you for joining me. Good to have you with me.
Hey, it's great to be here, Drew. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. And we wish you wouldn't have turned that song off so soon, because we were dancing to that one. That's our theme song.
Is it real? I love that. I was thinking the same thing. I was going to tell Maggie, let my bumper run. I mean, I love some of the music that they play. It's just that's such a classic. That is your song. I love that. That is a great song.
No, it's not. I mean, no. It could be.
I love it.
The good and bad times she's referring to.
Yeah, that's so funny. Hell's Bells, that's your song, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
It was, right? Before you guys, I'm kidding you. It's not really their song, but you went through difficult times. I mean, you see how Satan wants to divide relationships. And maybe that's a good place to start. We can talk about how you know, how he hates marriage, because he really does. He hates these types of relationships. And we only have a limited time today. So if you could, introduce people to who you guys are and your story, because I think your story is so compelling and so riveting. Last time you were on, you told it. I may rerun that at some point in the future. But for those who aren't familiar with what you do and even your ministry, you know, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, Drew, thank you. And, you know, Greg and Julie here, and we were on the brink of divorce after 10 years of marriage some 24 years ago. And it was a result of us wearing the label Catholic, going to church every Sunday, but as we know now, in no way, shape, or form living our Catholic faith. And as a result, we subscribed to the lies of the world, many of those things that you mentioned, Drew. And, of course, that began to drive a wedge in our relationship. And because God was not the center of our lives, we allowed the stuff in life, so to speak, to become the center, become our God, the money, the jobs, the materialistic things, and all those things, again, were things that we celebrated in our lives because they brought happiness. And albeit they did not bring a long-term happiness, would send us out looking for the next car, the next trip, the next house, the next whatever. Yeah. And we had finally reached a point where we could no longer find the happiness in the things of life. And unfortunately, we both began looking for that happiness in other people. And so needless to say, when those secrets of infidelity were discovered, we just simply concluded that if we're having to resort to this kind of behavior in our marriage, then there can't be much of a marriage. And Drew, I don't even know if it's what I wanted, but I went to Julie and I simply said, we need to get a divorce. Right. And without hesitating, she immediately agreed, and she kind of consulted that that's what we were living our lives in the first place. Yeah, maybe we should divorce. And so we went to our parish priest to no avail, who referred us out to a Catholic therapist. And not only was he not any help, but he had suggested that maybe we're not meant to be together in the first place. Maybe we should get a divorce. He gave some of these crazy, weird analogies, but we left his office hearing what we thought we wanted to hear, went home and proceeded to tell our 7 and 8 year old that mom and dad can't do this. We're kind of like brothers and sisters. You fight sometimes, can't get along. And we decided to get a divorce. And regardless of the fact that they were huddled in the corner, embracing each other, literally crying their eyes out, wow, we just dismissed it. Oh, they'll be fine. You know, if they grow up and manifest problems or issues, we'll just send them to counseling. That's what Bob and Susie down the street did, and they seem to be okay. Again, just simply illustrating how cold-hearted we had become at that point, more so self-absorbed because everything was all about our individual happiness. And at this time, we thought that getting a divorce was going to bring us that happiness.
Wow. So what happened? How'd you resolve that?
Yeah. Well, one of the best things ever is you hear that part in the Mass, the Holy Mass, when it talks about their greatest downfall might be the means of your salvation. Mm. And that truly, I'm not kidding you, was when I decided that I was going to, you know, be a millionaire and I was going to show not only Greg, but everybody else that I could be a woman and I could show people how awesome that could be, you know, just to make money and be gone all the time and trying to keep up with all the other people that I hung out with. But long story short is when I moved to San Antonio, because the job was so good and the money was so great, I came home one Wednesday and Greg greeted me at the door. And, you know, when he said he wanted to get the divorce, I was devastated, but my Catholic guilt kicked in. And I thought, oh, my Lord. But what took place after that is we kept going to church. We kept going because it was out of guilt, not out of any other reason, out of, oh, my gosh, I didn't want my parents to find out I didn't go. It had nothing to do with my faith or relationship with God, so I thought. And what took place after that was absolutely amazing. We had a parish priest. Our parish priest went away for the summer to study. And a visiting priest came into our church, and I'm telling you now, that man was it. Our hearts were on fire. Wow. He was sharing things about our faith that we never knew, didn't understand, and it just we were so consumed with this burning in our hearts of wanting to know more. And we began to get to know him in between the Mass times. And later we found out that he was the tribunal vicar for the diocese, and we knew nothing about our faith, but we did know that this is the guy that does that annulment thing. So we thought God was blessing us with this man to help us get out of our marriage quickly.
Right.
So we made the appointment to go visit with him, and oh my goodness, he had to sit there for 45 minutes and listen to everything we did wrong in our marriage.
Oh boy.
And at the end, he sat back patiently and he said, okay, I understand your plight and your situation, but let me ask you a few questions. What is God's plan for marriage? What does our church teach about the sacrament of marriage? What are some of the writings of St. Paul and the various holy fathers dealing with marriage? sadly, we didn't have any, we had no knowledge of any of those questions, but thanks be to God, Greg went home and found the answer to those questions. And to this day, that's what changed our life.
Unbelievable. What a great story. I'll tell you what, I've got to take a short pause. When we come back, let's talk more. My guest today, Greg and Julie Alexander, you can check them out at thealexanderhouse.org. If you are going through a difficult time, maybe it's Providence, that you stumbled on this radio program now, maybe your relationship's on the rocks, maybe you're thinking about ending it, maybe your husband or your wife says, I want out. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call in anonymously and speak to Greg and Julie about that. Maybe they can give you some help and some direction. We'll open the phones when I return. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Another great one, right? That's Grover Washington, Bill Withers, just the two of us. Hey, happy St. Valentine's Day, everyone. Good to be with you today. And if you maybe you're having some difficulty in your relationship, maybe you're discerning a relationship, I thought it'd be great to talk a little bit with our guests today, Greg and Julie Alexander. They're here to help you as well. In fact, I'm going to take a few phone calls. I only have them for a few moments. So if you want to get in, you have to call now. I'll go to the phones in a second. It's 888-914-9149. But before I do, I was just talking during the break and discovered that they actually have a 40-day actual prayer campaign for relationships and marriage. And Greg and Julie, let's before we go any further, because I think you know, a couple that prays together, there's something very intimate about that. There's something very beautiful about that. I think there's a certain prayer, a certain power in that particular prayer. And I know you're about to launch, you know, I think it's Lent, this coming Lent, a beautiful prayer campaign. Fill everyone in on what that's all about and why you think that's going to be so important.
Yeah, first of all, Drew, we did this because of the fact that I work with couples. When we ask the couples how many of them currently pray together as a couple, I'm serious, less than 2% of the couples do. People always say, well, I have my own prayer life, or my prayer life is individual. My relationship with God is individual, is private.
Yeah, right.
And they fail to understand that not only should we have that individual prayer life, but we should also have a prayer life as a couple with God as well. And so this resource is going to take couples through 40 days of Lent, of course, starting on Ash Wednesday. And every day the couple will receive a teaching on the church in regards to marriage. There'll be a specific prayer that we like to ask the couples themselves to recite together. And then there's what we call a grace in action, things that the couples can actually do for each other to kind of hammer home that thought or live out in a practical way much of what that teaching for the day talked about.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a tremendous resource for couples, because once couples start coming together and praying together, they realize not only how intimate it is, but the closest that it brings in the relationship. And so it's also a way where God says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And so we have that ability every time we come together in the context of prayer to invite God front and center in our marriage.
Well, thanks for doing that. I think that's so important, and I want to invite any couple who's not praying yet together, try it. It'll deepen your relationship. It'll transform it. All right. And I'm assuming the best way to get plugged into that same website, is it your alexanderhouse.org, or is there a different site for that?
Now, go to that website and then click on the link on the resources and go to online resources, and it'll be the first resource that you'll get to on the website.
Well, thanks for doing that. Sheila is listening to us in Biddeford, Maine. She wants to join the conversation. Hi, Sheila. Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
Great. Wonderful.
Good.
Go right ahead,
Sheila. Okay, my story is my husband and I, he was Baptist, I was Catholic. I went to Catholic schools, and I was still going to church, but he would not come to church with me. We were married for about 15 years. Our marriage fell apart. I continued to go to church. We separated for a year. It really looked like nothing was going to work. And I kept going to church. And then one day I called him and I just said, I want to come home. I want this to work. And so he said, come home. And he said, I never stopped loving you. And so we came home, and the first year that we were back together was very rough, but I continued to go to church and pray my rosary. And one day he said, I'm going to come to church with you. I'm like, what? He was Baptist. And he's like, I'm going to come to church with you. And he came to church with me, and we had been married by a JP. So finally, our marriage is great. Our relationship has been the best it had ever been, 20 years now. We were going to see our local priest, and we were going to have our marriage blessed in church. And we had done all the counseling and everything. And it ends in a sad story because the week before we were going to have our marriage blessed, my husband, who was 45, passed away of a sudden heart attack. It was very sad, but at the same time, God gave me peace in my heart. We reconciled. We were trying to get our marriage blessed. So I really feel that Tim, my husband of 20 years, I feel God brought us back together because the last 7 years of our marriage were the best years out of 20 years of our marriage.
That's beautiful.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That is so beautiful. Sheila, thank you for sharing. Thank you for allowing us, whoever's listening, to include myself, to these kinds of sharing and stories that you shared your heart so beautifully. You just made me realize even more that I need to go to work a little bit harder, you know, because how awesome it is that you have come to share this story that you said you came back together. The last 7 years were so beautiful because that is exactly God's plan for our marriages, is to help each other grow closer to God, and that you came and you asked your husband and he wanted to come to church with you. That's it. That's the goal of every marriage. And you reached that goal, and we will pray for his soul, pray for your heart. But thank you for sharing, because that right there just makes everyone listening say, okay, wow, I better appreciate what I have right here in front of me.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let me sneak Richard in, because I know how quickly time's going here. He's listening in Sacramento, California, and I think he's separated right now. Richard, hi, you're on the air with Greg and Julie. Good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, I was asking for prayers and asking for support of the community, and I think the ministries in the church, I'm hoping that they would be more supportive of those who are separated. I feel like there hasn't been much support since my separation as far as ministries go, and I want to be a part of that and to try to, you know, help people along those lines. So I don't know what else to say on that other than prayers for people that are in separations. I'm hoping for reconciliation. It's been a while since we've been separated, and hoping for reconciliation, but it's that, you know, the teachings of the church are hard on this one, you know.
Greg, Julie, we only have a few moments left. I know we don't have a whole lot of information from Richard, but maybe you can give him some direction or advice.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say I totally agree with you. I think there needs to be more done from the church, especially at the parish level, given the fact that it's our parish home. When Julie and I were hurting, we turned to our parish. There was nothing to receive us, not only at the time of difficulty, but even from the point of I do to that point of difficulty, there was never anything there. And so I think we all should join together in prayer that we will respond to God's call to make those things available. As for your own marriage, Richard, just continuing to pray, as you said, but I always take couples to 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Not necessarily that the spouse is not a believer, but a lot of times when they are not believing in the marriage, and how we continue to maintain our yes, because our promise was not only made to that other person, but it was made to God as well. And many times we've seen that couple who remains and stands steadfast in their marriage confers over the grace to their wayward spouse, if you will, to call them back. And just pray that God will allow whatever he deems necessary to happen in your wife's life to get her to see truth, of the faith, but also the truth in your marriage, and to return to you.
And Richard, just so you know, we do have a program called Marriage Disciples, which is online. It's on Zoom. We work with couples all over the world, and we work with couples. And I just want to let you know, it is at no cost to couples. We do not charge for our program, and that we've helped over 5,000 couples. And just it's at thealexanderhouse.org.
All right. Hey, well, Richard, thank you. Hang in there. We're going to pray for you. I know it's one of the things you did ask for, and prayer will change. I'm going to ask everyone listening, say a Hail Mary or a prayer for Richard and his relationship, and for anyone going through these difficult moments in their relationship right now. I know they could use it. And Greg and Julie, thank you. I wish we had a lot more time. I want to give out your website if you want to get plugged into the work they're doing. It's thealexanderhouse.org. And I think you'll find it both enriching and a real blessing to you. Thank you both, and have a happy St. Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you, Drew. Thanks for what you do every day. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That's Greg and Julie Alexander. I've got to leave it right there. When we come back, let's change gears. I do want to bring you up to speed. I'll give you the latest on the Relevant Radio Pledge Drive. Good news if you missed it, because this was a huge hour. And I'll fill you in on where we ended up at the very end of it all. Plus, new news regarding vaccinations, right? Let's talk about... Let's talk some COVID as well. I'll bring up the speed on the latest, and we'll see where we are. Don't go away.